the core of our faith is belief in a single non-corporeal God. In other words, a formless God, whereas Jesus has form, which is based on the Torah or the Old Testament, and forever with us, involved in our lives. He cares about us, so we interact with him, we believe in him, and we pray to him.
So in what ways do you day-to-day lead and support our armed forces as a Jewish chaplain to the military?
First and foremost, I'm here to support people of Jewish faith or with Jewish faith connections or perhaps with Jewish partners in their spiritual journeys. And I react to them on a pastoral level, supporting them through life cycle events. The armed forces takes a toll on mental health and on personal resilience and on the spirit. And I'm there to support the spirit of those who are serving, their families, and the wider networks to ensure their ongoing sort of religious resilience.
So how does your Jewish faith lead and guide you and fellow believers at this time of remembrance?
The Old Testament declares in Deuteronomy and elsewhere, remember the days of old. Always remember. Remember the people, remember the history, remember in a sense of gratitude, humility, and in order to learn lessons. So remembrance for us is a religious duty. It's not merely a feature of being in the military. So with that, it walks with us. Beyond that, I think remembrance encompasses a sense of inspiration, self-sacrifice, a sense of learning from individual privation. And it really guides us. And looking at the sacrifice of those who have trained, deployed, and ultimately sacrificed and paid either the ultimate sacrifice or less than that, it's humbling.
Are you involved in services or ceremonies at this time of year, thinking particularly about Armistice Day, Remembrance Sunday?
Yes. The Jewish community has a long tradition of remembrance. We have an annual remembrance parade, which is exactly 1 week after the main cenotaph service and parade. It's been going since the early 1920s. So it's a fixture in the military calendar as well as the Jewish calendar. We have our own parade 1 week after, serving personnel, veterans, families, and others who want to support it. And it's sort of a living, breathing embodiment of our own history. And I'm deeply involved in that. The chief rabbi leads that service, and I'm alongside him in that sense. Beyond that, we have many remembrance services. It's almost a cornerstone of being Jewish to have remembrance services. And we remember in gratitude at various cemeteries and at various important synagogues. We remember Jewish sacrifice and Jewish service, 55,000 in the First World War, 70,000 in the Second World War, many thousands of casualties. 2,000 were killed in the First World War, 3,000 in the Second World War. And we remember all that encompasses. Often their families, children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and beyond, for whom this is a very, very important memory. It's a part of their identity.
And how do people react then day to day when they know that there is a Jewish chaplain to the military there involved in some of these remembrance services?
People are very grateful. I mean, it's remarkable from within our community and outside of our community, the almost American thank you for your service type of greeting that I get, because people don't instantly connect ethnic minorities, whether they're Sikhs, Hindus, Buddhists, Muslims, or Jews, with military service. It's almost counterintuitive. And when it dawns on people, it's appreciated. I think also the fact that we are, as the chaplaincy element, is part of the moral component of fighting strength in British military doctrine. And it's really important that everyone has a piece of that everyone has their own identity within the larger serving personnel identity. And when we shut that down, we people lose a bit of themselves, and they lose a bit of the moral fight that they're meant to bring. and the motivation.
And then just thinking over the last sort of 5, 10, 15 years, how has inclusion of other faiths represented in our forces changed in that time?
I've been around for just over, I guess, 10 years in the army and in wider defence. And during that time, there's been a very positive transformation. The diversity and inclusion element has meant that there's a much better gender balance. There's less sexism. There's a much better sense of being different, whatever that means to you, whether that's your ethnicity, your religion, your sexuality. And there is much more respect. So I think we've made huge strides. I find that we are, in many instances, streets ahead of the civilian, the wider population.
And what would you say, you know, thinking of those changes, what would you say to those who feel that they want to mark remembrance without the religious side of things, without going to church and without having a traditional faith?
That's a really good question, because that's a lot of people. And what we now have is a bifurcation. We have, and in fact, all of us who are chaplains within the army hierarchy are instructed to perform acts of memory, which are essentially without religious trappings, as well as services of memory, remembrance services, which can have a religious flavor. We need to be able to support both. It's not an option simply to invite people to join a Christian or a Jewish service, because that will not be right for a lot of people. So we have acts of remembrance and services of remembrance, and the two are conducted both by chaplains, but they're conducted very differently, and they allow for that sort of inclusion of all strands of belief and no belief.
And finally, who will you, or what will you be holding in mind come Armistice Day, Remembrance Sunday?
So for me, it's about the human dimension, and it's that sort of reflection on the horrendous world wars. And we have a glimpse of it in what's going on in Ukraine. You know, in this mass media universe, we're sort of seeing bits of that tragedy on our television screens and on our YouTube. So for me, it's about the human dimension. And it's I think of the words of the prophet that, you know, eventually we'll beat our swords into plowshares. We'll transform all this malign energy into something positive. It's a long way off. But it's the human tragedy, the human destruction, the death, the impoverishment, and the hatred of war that really sticks in my particular craw. I just see it as an enormous tragedy. So we remember them, we salute them, but there's a sense of pathos that cuts through all of that.